We're thinking this morning about why Jesus had to die on the cross. And we read in Isaiah 53, which was a book written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, we discover why he had to come. It says here, we all like sheep have gone astray. That is, we all did our own thing. We disobeyed God. We didn't want to follow him. Each of us had turned to his own way. And here's the thing. And the Lord has laid on him, referring to Jesus, the iniquity, all that we have done wrong, of us on him. So when we're thinking about what Jesus done on the cross, we're thinking about how we have disobeyed. We turned our own way. But Jesus is the one who will take the punishment. And that's the verse that we're going to be thinking about this morning. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin, all that we've done wrong of us all. Well, we're going to read John 15 now together. Or verses 1 to 17. We're going to be looking at just one verse of it, verse 13. But it'd be good to get the context of it. So John 15. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. How are we? We good? Good, good, good. Everyone got a bit of blue card? Don't wave it yet. Has everyone got a bit of blue card? If you haven't got a bit of blue card, put your hand in the air and my assistant will come. Everyone's got a bit of blue card. That's good. Okay, some have made theirs into aeroplanes. That is not the point of a blue card. Am I going to grab a pen and pass it on as well?
One. Take the pot. Mommy, where's that red one?
So here we go. This is what we're thinking about this morning. That greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And it's a really big idea. And so to help us, we're going to pray and ask God for his help as we think about what this means. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you might settle our minds and our hearts. Pray that, Father, you would help us to listen. Help us not only to listen, but then to respond and obey. And so, Father, please teach us, we ask. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the question is, when Jesus says greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, the question then is, why does Jesus have to lay down his life for his friends? And in order to kind of understand why Jesus had to lay down his life, we have to firstly think about what we call the problem. The problem of sin and the problem of mercy. So here's the first thing. I need a helper. I need someone to stick this up for me. Can someone come and do that? Nathan, you're tall enough. Can you just stick it underneath the problem for me, please? A little bit higher. That'll do. Perfect. And it says here, here's... Oh, my blue tack's not quite working. Thanks, Nate. There we go. Here's the thing. The sin, here's the first part of the problem, the sin we've committed as human beings. First part of the problem. Sin is what? What is sin?
Doing bad things,
that's part of it, yeah. Anything else? I think it's doing bad things, but do you know what sin is at its simplest is disobeying God. Disobeying God, doing things our way, not God's ways. And since God is our creator, here's the thing, he has the complete right to rule over us. And it's not optional whether we choose to obey God or not. We're required to do so. We have to. He made us. We're to obey him. But guess what? We've chosen to do what? To disobey him. That's right, Emily. To disobey. And here's the thing. The Bible teaches that all people have sinned in all of human history. And we do so in lots of different ways. So some of us are proud and some of us don't listen to our parents. And some of us get angry and shout. But we've all sinned and disobeyed. Here's the thing, what I want you to do with your blue card. Can you write on it the word sin? Adults, you can do the same as well. Then, if you want, think about the particular sin that you struggle with. How do you disobey God? And write that down. Just one of the ways. The paper isn't that big. Don't show it to anyone else. Fold it up when you've written it. Think of the way in which you have disobeyed God. Fold it up so no one can see what you have written. Not that we want to read it. Now, once folded up, can you raise it in the air? Can you raise it high in the air? Raise it high in the air. Everyone, raise it high in the air. Whether you've written on it or not, raise your king. Children, stand up. Have a look around. See the mass of blue. Do you see there is no one who hasn't got their hand up right now? Do you see all the blue cards? Everyone has sinned. Apart from the band, clearly. The band, they're okay. They're the sanctified holy ones down the front here. They have as well, we just think of them blue cards. And nor have I, and I have sinned, I should have two blue cards. Right, sit down, that'd be great, thank you guys. See, the thing is, we've all sinned. Every single one of us has disobeyed God. But here's the thing, not only are we all sinners, but the punishment for our sin is death. So we read in Romans 6:23, the wages, that means the punishment for sin is death. And here's the other thing. There are no exceptions to this truth. So no matter who we are, how much good we think we've done, we will get the punishment of death. Separation from God, no longer able to be his friends. And this is true for every single person. And none of us can do anything to change our situation. There's no amount of good deeds, there's no amount of work, there's no amount of pleading, there's no amount of praying or church going or community service that can even begin to remove the problem of our sin before God. We've all sinned and we all face God's punishment for our sin. Here's a second thing, part of our problem. I need another helper to put me, Izzy, come on up. Put it underneath number one for us. Obviously, I can see a problem when we get to point three. Good job. Here's the second thing. God's justice demands he punishes our sin. Ooh, what does that mean? God's justice demands he punishes our sin. Okay, here's the thing. God is just. He is righteous. So he always, this is what it means for him to be just, he always upholds the standards, the law, that he knows as God are holy and good and right. And because he is God, he cannot ignore those standards or set them aside. For he did this, he would not be God. Now here's the thing. At home or at school, we may just want to put our pens down. I think we're spending a lot of time doodling right now. It's all part of learning, I'm sure. But if we're at home or at school, if you do something wrong, what happens? Emily, what happens? You get told off, and you normally get punished. Is that right? But sometimes, when you do something wrong, do you always get caught? No. So sometimes you do something wrong, and do you get punished for it? No, because your parents didn't see, your teacher didn't see, you didn't get caught, did you? You didn't get in trouble. But with God, here's the thing, he sees everything. So there's never a time when we can think to ourselves, you know what, we can live in disobedience to God and not be required to pay the punishment. That God cannot ignore our sin. So he can't sweep it, sin under the carpet. He can't pretend that it hasn't happened. He can't say, you know what, you don't deserve the punishment of being separated from him. In short, God is just. He'll uphold his commands and his standards. So we're sinners. As a result, God must and will bring judgment on our sin. Doesn't sound good, does it? We're sinners. God is just. Here's the third thing, though. Now, this is what we've been calling the problem of sin. Here's the problem of what we call mercy. I need another helper to... yeah, Barnes, go for it. You had your hand up. You can go low as well. Push hard. Good job. Nice one. That's not going anywhere. Here's the third thing. Can't see it. It says, because God is full of grace and mercy, he loves us. So we call the problem of mercy. So here's the thing. At home, I play a game with my boys. You might play with your parents. It goes like this. I say, how much do I love you? They say, this much. I say, you're joking, this much. They then go, no, you love us this much and more, to the moon and back and round the houses and down the street and to America and back. And I go, yeah, you're right, I do. I do love you that much. But here's the thing. God loves us even more. God is full of grace and mercy and abounding in love to sinners like us who deserve his punishment, death. And why God loves us is completely beyond our ability to understand. Because we've turned away from him, we've mocked him, we've resisted him, we've joked about him, and there are a million other ways in which we have offended God. So clearly God's love is not based on how lovable we are. It's just the opposite. We're not very nice to him. We're sinners, but he loves us. So here's the thing. We're sinners. God is just. He demands to punish our sins. But God is also full of grace and mercy. He loves us. So can you see the problem? Here's the problem. How can a holy, just and righteous God show mercy and kindness to sinners who deserve punishment for our sin? For the sin that he is obliged to punish. You see that? How can God... Here's the thing. Yeah, thanks, Brenda. Put it up, put it over the top, a diagonal, straight across here, because we're going trendy. No, like this, like that. There we go, cool. Oh, you might need a bit more blue tack. Here you go. You there? Good job. That's my table, Brendan. It's not going anywhere, though, is it? Good job. So here's the problem. Here's the problem, okay? How can God, who must judge us for our sin, show us love and save us? We're sinners. He must punish us, but he loves us. That's the problem. Back to our question. Why did Jesus have to lay down his life for us? Here he is, us. Here we go. Oh no, my blue tack's gone off. I need another helper. Not you, Brendan. You destroyed my tables. Annabelle, come on and put it up here for me, about here. Good job. See how nicely and delicately that was done? She's got her father's comic timing, hasn't she? See where we're going with this all morning, can't we? We're not using these tables again. Okay, so here's us, right? Here's the problem. Here's the crown. Just going to do it myself this time. Just nice and gently. Here's the crown. Who do you think the crown represents?
Jesus
or God? Absolutely. So God, here he is, right? Here's us. Can we have a relationship with him? What's the problem? Sin. Blue bit of card. Lots of sin. Here's the problem. Here we got sin. Whew, I'm going to be tired today. Here we go. Here we go. Sin. What must God do? He must save us, but what does he do? What must he do to our sin? Judge us, that's right. Judgment, death. It's like a big barrier. I'm going to need a punch soon. So here's the thing. Here's us with our sin. Here's judgment, death. Here's God. We can't have a relationship. That's the problem. But God loves us. So what's he going to do? I'm going to tell you. It's on the screen. Not yet, you're right, Nathan, it's not. Got a little clicker problem. There it is. Why did Jesus have to lay down his life? Jesus died in our place. Jesus died in our place. So here's... Someone else want to put this up? Who hasn't done one yet? Emily, it's all yours now. Put it in the middle. I'll hold the table.
It seems like it's
gone. Yeah, it has, yeah. It's in the corners. Good job. Here's Jesus. Now, here's the thing. God the Father planned a way for our punishment to be paid by his Son when Jesus came and was hung on the cross. The Father put upon Jesus our sin. Christ paid fully the punishment we owe to God, and by trusting what Jesus has done for us and nothing else, we can be saved. Now here's the thing. Here's the technical term for that, all right? You ready?
Yep.
This is how to impress your teachers in RE when they're talking about the cross, okay? You can put your hand up and say, "Sir, miss, I think you'll find this is penal substitution." I haven't got no clicker power today. Penal substitution. Now, how good is that to be able to say that to your teacher? Miss, sir, this, I think you'll find, is penal substitution. Now, here's the thing. The word substitute means what? What does a substitute mean? Oh, it's up there. What does it mean? Brendan.
New God?
A new person. Yeah, yeah. Kind of take the place of, isn't it? Yeah, you see it in football. In truth, the whole Arsenal team needed to be substituted yesterday. But we won't go there. I'm not bitter at all. But when you take the place of, isn't it? One person comes on for another person. You take the place of. And Jesus took our place and died instead of us having to die. He took our place. And the word penal refers to the act. I'll do that. And Philip, there we go. that Jesus died as our substitute, he paid the penalty. He paid the punishment that we deserve to die, to pay. So if you put the two words together, we see that the term penal substitution means that Christ paid the penalty of our sin as he died in our place on the cross. Christ paid the penalty of our sin as he died in our place on the cross. He bears our sin, he takes our punishment. So what I want you to do is to take those blue cards with sin, fold it up, and place them on Jesus. Okay, we're going to represent here. So kids, do you want to come down? We can't do all the adults, we'd be here all day. But kids, taking turns, just put it up. You see the little blue tags? Put it on there somewhere. No, that one, don't. Just take it in turns, it's all good. All good. There's some spare blue tack on the side, if you need it. So, for all those who believe in Jesus, do you see how he bears all our sin? If you think that blue card, if you're believing in Jesus, that's your sin, and it's no longer on us, where is it now?
On Jesus.
On Jesus. And do you know what else is on Jesus? The judgment. The death that we deserved to pay for our sin. He bore what we did. So he bore God's anger. Oh, we're going to have to move it down a bit. Sorry. Never get a job on Blue Peter, will I? See? Oh, now, what's on our side if we're believing in Jesus? Any sin? Any judgment or death? No. So he bears our sin, he takes our punishment, he dies in our place. And here's the next thing as we think about that. Jesus satisfied the demands of God's just judgment against our sin through his death on the cross. Now, satisfied means God is happy. His expectations have been met. Justice has been served. The punishment has been paid. There's nothing left for us to pay. So when God looked at the payment for sin that his son made on the cross, paying for the sin of the world that the Father had put on him, God saw that Jesus' punishment was so complete and full that he's able to declare my son's punishment so perfectly and completely fulfilled my just demands that there's no other and no further payment is required. Which means that we can have a relationship with God. God saw Christ shed blood on the cross as fully satisfying the demands against all our sin. And we know it's true because Jesus was risen from the dead as an evidence that his death had paid the price. So now we're forgiven and saved and able to have a relationship with God. So let's have a look at our questions. Has God's justice for our sin been paid? Has he? Has he done what he said? Has he punished our sin?
Yeah.
So we can get rid of that one. Has he shown us love and grace and mercy? Yep, so we can get rid of that one. Has he dealt with our sin problem? Yep. So has the problems been removed? So can we now have a relationship with God? Yes, we can. Because of Jesus. Now, some may say, is that fair? Is that fair? I mean, is it fair that God places our sin and punishment on Jesus? I mean, if at school you get in trouble, what happens? You go on the mat or you get detention, yeah? What happens? You did it wrong. is your detention, but your friend went into detention for you. He did nothing wrong, or she did nothing wrong. Would that be fair? That's not fair, is it? So is it fair that Jesus dies on the cross for us? Well, if Jesus was just a man, that would be true. It would not have been fair. God would just be punishing an innocent man for us. But Jesus is not just a man. Jesus is also God. That's right. Jesus is God. So God the Son, Jesus, is taking our punishment. God is just. He declares the punishment for sinning against him, death. But because of his love for us, he then takes our punishment. He dies in our place. God himself dies in our place for us. And because Jesus is also man, he can be our substitute. He's like us. He can represent us. So is it fair? Is it just? Yes. Because God the Son has taken our punishment. Here's the thing, though, as we finish. How should we respond? How should we respond? And next one. Firstly, here's the thing. Two ways we're going to respond. First, we need to ask Jesus to be our friend and to lay down his life for us. Do you remember John 15, verse 13? Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. We need to, children and adults, if we've not already, to ask Jesus to take our place, to take our sin, to take our punishment, so that we can be friends with God, who is just and righteous. And it's really easy to ask him. We just pray. And we'll say something like this. I'll put some words on the screen for us. Keep going. Yep. It says this. Dear Jesus, thank you for wanting to be my friend. Please would you take my sin, take my punishment, so that I can be forgiven and friends with you again. Thank you for dying for me. Amen. It's as simple as that. If you pray that prayer, then you are a friend with God. You are saved. You'll never have to face God's punishment for your sin. Every sin you've ever committed is forgiven, be it the sins that you have done yesterday, be it the sins you did today, be it the sins you're going to do in the weeks ahead and months ahead. Every sin is forgiven. And you'll never be separated from God. You'll never be separated now and when we die. He'll always be with you. And he'll begin to change your life as well. So maybe if you want to do that today, maybe you want to say that simple prayer, can I suggest that, particularly if you're a child, that you go and speak to your mum and dad and say to them, Mum, Dad, I want to say that prayer. Can you help me and say it with me? And then they're going to help you begin to understand what it will mean to follow Jesus and live for him. If you're an adult and you've never prayed this prayer, but you're thinking this morning, I want to pray that prayer. I want to be friends with God. I want my sin dealt with. I want the punishment taken by Jesus. I want to be in right relationship. I want to be with Jesus forever. I want a life that is going to begin to be changed right now. Then can I suggest you pray that prayer in the quietness of your heart, now or at the end of the service. And then can I encourage you to speak to someone who you know who's a Christian. Come and have a chat with me or talk with a friend. Because we'd love to begin to help you understand what it means to follow Jesus for the rest of your days. See, if Jesus has died, if this is true, then we need to respond firstly by asking Jesus to be our friend. But secondly, if Jesus is our friend, we'll want to obey him. If we've asked him to die for us and be our son, then Jesus says in John 15 that being his friend will mean that we'll want to remain in him. That is, we'll want to stick close to him. So he says, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So if we're friends, we're going to want to remain in his love. And how do we do that, says Jesus? Well, John 15, verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. In other words, if you love Jesus because he is our substitute, that he's laid down his life, then we want to obey Jesus. Because actually our disobedience of God in the first place was what got us into trouble. And so if he's died for us, we're now going to want to start to obey him and live the way God wants. And we do that by obeying his commands.